A bit like Glenn McFarlane. He never stops working, Glenn McFarlane. He's a star from the Herald Sun. He's back again with us on a Monday morning. Hello, Macca.
Yeah, g'day, Half, Whitey and Rammer. How you going, guys?
We're going well, buddy. We're going well. You never stop working. You're racing, you're footy, you're footy, you're racing, you're footy, you're cricket, you're racing, you're cricket, you're footy, you're racing again. How'd you go on the weekend?
Yeah, solid day, Half. Did okay. Was pretty happy. Shelby Copper was my big win on the weekend. I was really pleased with that. Oh, so impressive, and I'd love to see them back it up at Sandown this week. He's a really good horse, and Bivouac, thank goodness, and Luke Curry, how good an interview was that on Arcadia Queen? That was fantastic. I'm not sure about his food selection, but I think he's an outstanding jockey, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a beauty. He's having some sort of spring. Well, what didn't you like about his pizza selection?
Nah, that was all right. It's just not my go, actually. I'm a bit more plain in my pizza scenarios, but very interesting.
You're a margarita man or something?
Margarita. I don't mind a little bit of margarita. Very, very boring me. Sometimes it's just a plain Aussie, which I'm sure Whitey would be really happy with. Just straight down the line for me.
No, I don't want egg on my pizza. No.
Oh, no. Egg.
Too Aussie exotic. Egg.
Well, you don't have to have egg
too
on your Aussie.
For me.
You can take the Aussie, the egg off the Aussie.
You can't.
It's just a
half.
Hand
that's,
pizza.
That's well, right. That's not right.
You shouldn't, of course, Glenn, as you well know. But you can if you think that's sort of your wheelhouse. Now, Adam was lamenting, Adam White, not the other Adam Ramanauskas, who's holding up everything. Adam White was lamenting the pace of the trade period and the window of the trade period. Now, it's a conversation we get to every year, Macca. Is there ever going to be a time where it is a abbreviated 3 or 4 day magic window to make things happen, or is it just not feasible because of the time constraints on some players and decisions?
I wish there was. I really wish we could just condense it down to a 2 day period. That's what it needs to be. But given the AFL, they love every little bit of publicity, every little bit of news space they can rip off the racing industry and the like. They want a big time and they want a lot of period of, you know, to be able to transfer players around. They could do it in 3 days, guys. We know that. But now they're gearing up even to a big prime time sort of trade finale this year at a 7:30 scenario. It's just what the AFL does. They want that. I can't see it coming back to anything less than a week. We've talked about it, I think, since February this year's trade period. And it feels weird that we're going into, I think we're T-minus 3.5 days till the end. And we still have got so many players we've got to move.
Yeah, well, I think the key to it, Glenn, in recent times is that there's no real surprises. The players that are mentioned before the start of the trade period are the players that continue to get talked about right to the end of the trade period. You know, whereas in the past there were those big surprises that came up late. That doesn't tend to happen anymore. And I don't know necessarily why that's the case, whether the journalists do their job better, whether clubs and managers use the media to get certain things out there, I'm not sure, but there's no real surprises anymore.
No, it's a bit weird. Every now and again we get a Josh Dunkley scenario, which happened about 3 or 4 weeks ago, even though Liam Pickering basically said that movement came from Essendon about 2.5 months ago. And you're right, like, there's not the big shock, the big bolt. I think we've been waiting for one. We've been waiting for one with Collingwood, but we know how tight their salary cap is. But I think there's been a few people thinking there's going to be one out there that we haven't actually spoken about at this stage with 3.5 days to go. I'm not sure there is.
So what's going to get things rolling, Macca? You've talked about Collingwood. Obviously, the Adam Treloar situation is just flat out fascinating, is what it is from an external perspective, just watching from afar. That's obviously going to need to come to a head at some stage. Then you've got the Essendon situation where they seemingly are involved in just about every one of the big deals that might get the truck rolling. What's the first cog that's going to, well, the first domino that's going to fall?
We need some dealings between clubs, and I think Jay Clark referred to it in the Herald Sun this morning. It's the time that we always get to this stage, and it's the talk of the mega club deal, isn't it? Everyone talks about shifting some draft selections around, which might actually unlock some of the keys. We need to get things going, obviously. The one I hope can get things going is the Adam Saad one. That should have been done ages ago. That's the one we need to get done, which is holding up. And you're right, Adrian Dodoro's got so many different irons in so many different fires, and it'd be just good to kick a few off. If we could get, potentially Geelong and Essendon could strike a first-round draft swap selection, it just might unlock a whole lot of different cases, including Adam Treloar and the Jeremy Cameron scenario that could push late in the week. It was funny, the Giants just not late last week and over the weekend, not really accepting Geelong's calls about Jeremy Cameron, which is a bit like Donald Trump turning his phone off in the White House other than to tweet. So it's a bit weird, isn't it?
So Macca, your understanding of what the Giants want for Jeremy?
The Giants want everything. They want players as well. They want as much as they can get. They're very angry, Rama. They want high draft selection, but they want players. And this is the point. The players that they were really keen on, Brandon Parfitt and Asava Radaglia, don't want to go. Parfitt's just signed a new deal. And Radaglia, as we had in the Herald Sun on Saturday, he wants to back himself and stay at Geelong. Obviously, with Jeremy Cameron coming into the team, it's an awkward scenario for him, but he's desperate to back himself and says, I think I can get into this team regardless going forward. Tom Hawkins, as we know, has probably got 2 years to go in his career. So he wants to back himself. So they want players, the Giants, as well as the draft selection. And at the moment, that's proving problematic for Geelong to sort of come up with what the Giants actually want.
Do you see a scenario where he could go into a preseason draft, Jeremy?
I do. The only thing I do say is that Geelong are a great football club in terms of getting deals done. Like, he is a fantastic person, Stephen Wells, in terms of actually getting things done. We know that Essendon sometimes have clogged up the system and held things back and have made things very difficult to get big trades happening, whereas Geelong are the complete opposite. They are the deal doers. They almost always get things done. And, you know, it might take a while, but they get things done. So I do think this will happen at some stage, but there's a lot of angst that goes with it as well.
They didn't get Tim Kelly done 2 years ago.
Geelong.
So,
Geelong, but Geelong didn't want to get that deal done 2 years ago. That was the point.
No,
they didn't want that deal done.
No, but Tim Kelly did.
Tim Kelly did, but I'm talking about from Geelong's perspective. They didn't want to lose Tim Kelly. They thought that if they could keep him for another year. And so I think that they controlled that market really well. And they were pretty open and honest about what they were doing, I reckon.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating, and I think Rama's question's really interesting around Cameron, because, you know, I think it probably will get done as well.
Yeah.
I think Geelong are just going to have to relent. They haven't to this point. I know that there's not a lot of love lost between the Giants and Geelong as a result of what's going on, but, you know, if Geelong want their man, they're going to have to stump up. I mean, what's the other option for Jeremy Cameron? I mean, is there a scenario where another club can give the Giants what they want and they can convince Jeremy? I know that there's a... I know Essendon would think, oh, okay, well, we've got the picks. We've got about five Giants players on our list that can get on the phone to Jeremy. And, I mean, could that conceivably happen, or do you think it's either Geelong or stays at the Giants?
I think it could happen in a scenario, and my goodness, Essendon could use him, couldn't they? They desperately need something like that. But as I was sort of suggesting, I think the more likely scenario is that a deal gets done, that Geelong perhaps relents a little bit, and not with Parfitt. They certainly won't with Parfitt. They're very strong on the fact that they don't want to give up Parfitt. But I think that's what will probably happen in the end. But you do, as the longer the week rolls on and there's going to be that deadline and that clock on the window, you start thinking about other options. Can Essendon organise something? Can Collingwood somehow find some salary cap money by moving players on to try and do something? The more likely scenario as it sits right now is that he goes to Geelong. The Giants, with the money with the Giants, though, isn't it funny? They couldn't stump up that money initially for him, and now they can.
I you brought up Collingwood, and I know, Macca, that you're aligned to Collingwood to a point, but who is responsible... Who is responsible for Collingwood's, I would describe it as a salary cap crisis?
It's absolutely.
On where they're at. Who is responsible for that?
Well, it has to be the footy department as a whole, but also list management as well. You look at that scenario, and Ned Guy has spoken about that last week, not at great length, and I think that's been the frustrating thing with Collingwood. We've known for quite some time, all year we've known that they've had a salary cap issue, but perhaps we didn't realise how, you know, extensive this problem actually is, that it's become, you know, a crisis in the sense of trying to sign up. I mean, we know the Darcy Moore's deal was done. We know the situation with Brodie Grundy was done as well at the end of last season leading into the other. But you know, the fact that Jordan DeGoey is not signed at the moment says they are just trying to work out how they can move money around. DeGoey has basically agreed to stay for two more years at Collingwood, but there's been no announcement. Mind you, Collingwood are never great in announcing their announcements of player contracts are usually 3 months after we report them in the media. So I think they've decided with the media, Collingwood, that they just don't, you know, they're copping a hammering from supporters, Whitey. There's absolutely no doubt. If you talk to any Collingwood supporters, they're very frustrated by the lack of transparency of what's going on at Collingwood at the moment.
So there's a few in the game there, isn't he? DeGoey's contract's got to get done. Treloar's got to get shipped out. Tom Phillips, he's gone?
Well, he's effectively gone. They've told him that his time in the sense of that wing role is up, that he's going to be behind several other players.
He's got a contract back in place.
He has.
Yeah, and the money he's on, that's what I'm saying. The money that Tom Phillips is on is remarkable.
I was going to say, he's on about 500, which is a lot of money for a player of his ilk in that sense. Do you agree, Whitey? I mean, it seems to be
higher than 500.
Yeah, it might be like
550. Yeah, I think it's higher than 500.
I don't think it's as high as 6. I don't think it's quite that high, but it's, you know, you're talking about 550 for a player who has had a couple of really good seasons, but he's obviously had struggled this year. And I agree with the contract scenario, as you say, Rammer, but bottom line is Treloar's contracted as well.
Yeah. I don't want to, I'm not trying to sound controversial or anything like this, but this has the potential to really... I think jeopardise the culture of the Collingwood Football Club, because they're pushing players out not because of whether they think they're good footballers or not, but because they pay them too much. And that's actually not the responsibility of the player. That's the responsibility of the football club. So if you're having to knock out two or three players because they look back and go, you know what, we stuffed this up, that has potential to have huge ramifications. We saw what happened to Essendon when they got themselves into that sort of problem. I don't know.
Well, Kevin Sheedy talks about that situation with Essendon back when they lost the three players, and Rami, you would know well. He basically says, I should have walked away from the club at that stage. I stayed around for a number of years after that, but the culture had been not blown up or destroyed, but it actually impacted so hard on that footy club. And I think the same thing could potentially happen at Collingwood. You look at Collingwood's mantra side by side. If I was a player, I'd be concerned about what's going on. It's not Adam Treloar's fault that that he's on that large contract. It's not Tom Phillips' fault that he's on that contract. It's not Jaden Stevenson's problem that he's on that contract. He signed that after, you know, an outstanding first season as well. So these players are on good money, and if they are on good money, it's either the club's done it right or it's done it wrong. It's not the player's fault. And I think that's the thing that is frustrating Collingwood supporters. They'd love a bit more transparency. They'd love some more people from the club coming out and speaking, but the club's not willing to do that at the moment.
So Jaden Stevenson, what's his go?
Well, his go is that he's movable if the deal is right. There's absolutely no doubt that he is movable from Collingwood if they can get the right deal for him. You only have to go back 2 years, 2018, when he was the best young player coming out of that draft and potentially would have, you know, his first season in 2018, he helped nearly win them a flag and was outstanding. And unfortunately, Hub Life didn't agree with him this year, and he certainly copped some criticism from our own mate, Mick McGuan, who, you know, for not being as, you know, aggressive at the ball. But, gee, he's a good player at his peak. And I know there'll be some frustrated Collingwood supporters if he is traded, which could still happen, guys.
Can you tell me, Rama, why Ben Brown hasn't been traded to Melbourne? That can't be a hard deal, because, well, we don't know anyone in that conversation, do we, around here? Oh, we do. Rama, what the hell is going on?
Just relax. It will happen. It might not be today. It will definitely happen.
But why not?
Get it done, Rama.
Hey. it would have been done on day one if it was my decision, but... this is the thing. Clubs just jostle for position. And like we spoke about last week, there's some clubs that want to win by $100. There's some clubs that are happy to win by $1. So, you know, the what's fair and part of the deal sometimes goes out of it with clubs. But anyway. Well,
North Melbourne can't win the deal because they've decided that they don't want him. So they've got to cop the loss. They've been very public in their not wanting him. So they just need to cop the loss and just move on. I don't understand, Adam.
Rammer, seriously, is this the trade that's holding up the whole process? We need to get you fixed. This can be done by 9:30 today, can't it?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. I wouldn't have thought this one's holding up things too much of it all. It seems pretty straightforward to me. So hopefully some clear heads prevail today, and we get something done.
They don't need to involve any other clubs. It should be Melbourne.
Straight.
Melbourne, you welcome Ben Brown to the club. Give up your second round pick and let's move on. It's simple as that, really.
Just a quick one on that, I reckon, Whitey. Just in regard to that, should we try and set up a situation that early trades, they get some sort of bonus scheme out of it as well. If you do your trades early, let's try and come up with a system where they get something back in return.
I don't mind,
I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah, but hang on, Becca. The AFL want clubs to do trades late for the theatre.
Yeah, but they can hold some back, the big ones back, but they should get these little ones done.
The other day, the big news in Trade Week was that Brisbane and some other clubs swap late picks. That was the highlight of the day. Like, seriously. But in all seriousness, it does appear that the thing that he's holding everything up is that Essendon and Carlton still can't do a deal with Saad. So Essendon then knows whether it does have 6, 7, 8, 7, 8, 9, whatever it is, that they can then potentially give one of those to Geelong to split them to have two picks in the teens, and away they go and do their business.
Well, we've already got 6 or 7,
it does seem
so why can't
that's
they
do
what's
that anyway? Holding it back. Well, you think you could. You do think you could, because you kind of know what you're going to get. But
the reality of that is Carlton could give up their pick to Geelong and do the split as well. So it's not necessarily Essendon.
Yeah, but then they don't have their pick to give to Essendon.
Yes, they do. They'll have 13.
They'll have 13 or whatever.
13 and 15, can't they?
Yeah.
They'll have 13.
But you're right. This is the one that's held everything up, and they should just get it done. There was a little bit of movement over the weekend about whether this can pursue forward and potentially get done by Tuesday or Wednesday. Let's hope it is, because we just need to get some of these deals done.
What does that mean? When you say some movement, what does that mean?
They had a little bit of chat over the weekend. We always think that no one speaks over the weekend. They do.
Weekend's big.
No, it is, and that's, you know that, Rammer, the weekends are always big because they're obviously watching Flemington, and when their TAB account's not quite working, they need to start those conversations again, don't they?
Yeah, exactly, but it's almost like clubs can do, over the weekend, they can do the work in the dark of the night because they think, people aren't watching or listening, but the reality is they still are to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
The Fantasia one, who's the one that sort of gets forgotten in the Essendon situation? Surely they're not still asking for a first-round pick, those people in the red and the black, are they?
Oh, I think that's what they like. They want everything. I think that's what they want, but they're not going to get it. It's crazy, isn't it? So that's another one where you like this, don't you, Half? You like this one.
Oh, man.
But it's crazy, isn't it? Like, are we fair dinkum? Like, there should be some sort of penalty at the end of the week for a team that just continues to cause dramas through the trade period.
But you got asking for a first round pick and getting it just as a straight first round pick is not necessarily the case. I think it could be a pick swap somewhere that they may be asking for as well, that you've always got to consider. It's easy just to go, oh, they want a first round draft pick, but that's not how these things necessarily work, Half. You know that.
Yeah, but no, but
they should ban
Orazio.
Pick swaps. That's been
the conversation about first round and Orazio. They shouldn't be having that together. Those words shouldn't be hanging out together.
I think there's an extension to that conversation.
I don't think if you get second round back,
well, what does that mean?
I don't care. It's a future second round back because they've only got, if you go through their numbers this year, the draft picks this year for them at the moment,
well,
what are they?
Okay, Carlton.
6, 7, 48.
I'll give you an example of this. Carlton, many years ago, said they got a first round pick for Zach Tui, right? So Carlton gave their second round pick back, which was a 4-pick slide for Geelong.
Yes.
Yeah, so Port Adelaide and Essendon might be sliding picks somewhere. Essendon have asked for a pick, I reckon that's not correct because it wouldn't be just the straight first round pick they're asking for.
Well, but doesn't matter. You can't, because the way they've got the moment, 6, 7, 48 their current picks, like throwing 67, 73, 78, 85.
Future picks.
It'd be future second, which would be what, about 25-ish.
So well, 25. Where do you think Essendon are going to finish next year?
Well, I'd probably think at the bottom of the ladder, but so important right now.
So that's pick. That's, so that's right now as it stands. That's pick 19. 19. That's pick 19.
Yeah, not but you know that's not going to happen. But I seriously, just give them a second.
It is a joke. The amount of haggling over whether someone gets pick 27 or pick 21, it's just such a joke. And then it gets to draft night later on, they go, oh, gee, I didn't think he'd get to pick 27. So what were you haggling over for? You got pick 21 or pick 27?
Yeah, it's a waste
because
of time.
He thought
mate.
He was going to be at pick 21.
Oh,
is Mason Cox on the market? Macca, I'll throw it to you. Is Mason Cox on the market?
Well, Ram is the man to ask this for sure, but I'm happy to say that... Well, that's right. I'm happy to say that if it was the right option, I mean, the club's talked about, and this is where Rammer, he's buried the lead here. Like, the club were talking about potentially extending his contract during the week past 2021, which is fascinating. But if there was the right deal came along, Collingwood was in a fire sale in terms of their money. There's no deal. I think most players are movable if the right option and the right deal came along. Rammer, is there a new deal for Mason Cox? And is he movable if it was the right option?
Yeah, an extension of his deal is definitely an option at the moment. So that's been discussed. But like you said, Macca, you know, there's also a possibility a number of players at the Pies could be moving. It's just how they move the dominoes.
Could he accept less money, Rammer, could renegotiate that deal for 2021 to get more, a longer period of time? Yeah. Yep. So that's a possibility with Mason Cox?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's an option.
You know what happens, Half?
You know what happens?
Is that when we get past pick 15 or pick 16 in the draft, it's a complete lottery. And I don't care what anybody says. It's a complete lottery because history says it is.
That's not true.
It is absolutely true. Anyway, regardless of whether you... I know you're going to disagree with that, but I'm happy to own that one. So what has to happen
now,
is...
Drafting and recruiting is a lot more sophisticated now. You know that, Whitey.
Rammer, go through the lists. It is a lottery. It is a complete lottery. It absolutely is. Anyway, that's not my main argument.
Hang on. We've got a coach here, Half.
Yes.
When you get into your third pick in the draft, is that a lottery or is that a player that you think can be a very good player for your team?
There's a lot of research that goes into that sort of stuff. The third round picks still very much in the game. We want them playing well.
Thank you.
Complete lottery. He's a complete lottery.
I'm not sure about that.
Anyway, look at the draft list of the last 3 or 4 years. It is a lottery. Complete lottery.
Not sure about that.
Anyway. As you're going through your books, what I was going to say now, I can't remember what I was going to say. Oh, that's right. St Kilda has shown. Go and get players in. There's picks and all this sort of stuff. Get players. They can make a difference.
You're very high pitch there.
I get emotional because it is a lottery. You look at the lists over the last 5 years after pick 16. It is complete hit and miss.
And this year is probably more than ever a lottery in a sense that we don't know what's going to happen, really, do we?
Xavier Dersma, pick 18, is pretty good. just steps
I don't want to name players to be disrespectful to those players, but you look, everyone, after the show's finished, because you're obviously listening to the show, just get on the Google machine and have a look at the last 5 years, and you have a look at from picks 18 to pick 45.
Mitch Georgiades.
Yeah, there'll be some good examples, but there'll be some bad examples than good examples.
Yeah, but trust me, there's some bad examples in the first 15 as well.
That's right, because I'd almost argue that's a lottery.
Yeah.
Go and get players that you've actually got exposed, you know whether they're going to make it or not.
Tim Kelly, Noah Bolter, Tom DeConning, Braden Ainsworth. Anyway, there's a few. Macca, there's a few. That's what we've worked out. There's a few.
Very good,
outside
guys.
Of that. it's nice having the book on standby. Macca, there's a question off the SMS I'm going to get to as well. What's going to happen today, Macca? I'm going to put you on the buddy spot here. What's going to happen today to get things rolling?
Well, we all hope it's going to be the Saad deal, but I suspect it won't be, that it's probably maybe a Tuesday-Wednesday deal. Tom Hickey was... We kept thinking that Tom Hickey was going to be locked away to Sydney on Friday, but it never quite went through. The paper didn't go, paperwork didn't go through, so that's a possibility to happen today. You know, I suspect there'll be one or two again today. What Whitey will be excited about... I know, that's what I'm thinking. This is the point. It's going to be like that. What you're going to be excited about... is there'll be some pick swaps today. I'm sure there'll be some pick swaps that we'll be excited about, and we'll be getting on the front foot of how good these pick swaps are. But let's hope someone, you know, takes it among themselves, and maybe Essendon, just to say, let's get this Saad deal done by tomorrow, by Tuesday. Let's get it done. Let's move on, and let's get everything, you know, finalised, and leave maybe one or two. Leave the Jeremy Cameron one for the 7:25 on Thursday night.
All right. Well, Alex Witherden's going to go to West Coast, is that right?
That's looking at... He's got 2 years to run on a deal, but that looks like it's going to happen. Means that Lewis Jetta probably doesn't get another chance, he'd be out. So what's the story there, Whitey?
Well, haven't they got a lot of those sort of players, West Coast?
I would have thought so. They're going to move a few on, and likewise with the Tom Hickey one. That if Tom Hickey goes, that means Nathan Vardy probably gets a new deal as well. So I'm not sure whether I'd be getting too excited about Alex Witherden if I was West Coast, but they're very keen, and that could end up being a future round pick going forward to next year.
Macca, you're a gun as always. We love having you on the program any single day of the week, and we'll get you back throughout the week. Building up to Thursday, the close of trade.
We would like to have you back tomorrow, but if the headline of today's trade period is Tom Hickey's moving clubs,
it's a big one.
You can probably sleep in.
Disrespectful. Well, you're being disrespectful. No,
he is. Disrespectful. The point I was trying to make with the Tom Hickey one is that, to be honest, boys, they're waiting. I hope a couple of players get done today. I really hope, because, my goodness, we've got to fill a lot of space in the Herald Sun, and it's very difficult to do that when Tom Hickey's getting traded from one side of the country to the other to what would be, is that right, his fourth club?
Just interview Whitey. Yeah. Just do a feature on Whitey and what should happen in trade week. It'll get you double page.
Macca, get some screenshots from Whitey's phone that he sends to list managers.
I like that. I like that. And we can say that Mason Crox is staying. Is that
I'm
right, Rabbit? Mason Crox is staying on a lesser deal. Is that correct?
No, not quite.
Seemingly, you've got him less money. Well done. Well done. Congratulations, Rabbit. Macca, you can print that.
Good on you guys.
Take that to print. We'll chat to you soon. Glenn McFarlane, Herald Sun journalist.